Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been talking about pursuing your destiny. And I'm operating under the assumption, brothers and sisters, that you want to move forward in the kingdom. You want to move forward into discovering your call. And again, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean that you don't have a call on your life. That doesn't mean that you don't have a destiny outlined for you in God's kingdom. That just means that you haven't started on it yet. That just means that you haven't discovered it yet. And the first step in discovering your calling and moving forward into your destiny, the very first step in moving forward with the kingdom of God is to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to step out with that little measure of faith that God has given you and trust Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe that you are who you say you are, even though I have never seen you in my life. I've never seen you with my own eyes. I've never seen all of the miracles that are talked about in your word, but I believe it because I'm stepping out in faith. And if you do that, you will then be on your road to repentance and to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God then will come to dwell in you. And so that is the first step. If you've not taken that step, you need to do that today. If you've not taken that step, you need to step out and repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, and make a commitment, a staunch commitment here at the first of this 2014 year, that you are going to serve God and you are going to love Him, and that you are going to walk a new path as He lays it out for you. Well, the destiny, the calling that God has for you is that unique path, that unique calling that He has on you, because you were created in the image of God. It tells us in Genesis 1:26, you were created in the image of God, and so you have unique attributes, unique characteristics, unique talents and gifts that nobody else on the earth has. And because of that, because you have been uniquely declared by God to perform works in His kingdom and move forward in His kingdom, to be an emissary or an ambassador of the kingdom of God, because you have been declared by God to do that, then as you discover what those works and what that kingdom pathway is, then you will be fulfilled and you will be walking forward into your destiny. Well, we're going to talk today about faith, because as you reach that crossroads or that fork in the road, that Y in the road where you are being given a calling by God and He reveals Himself to you, then the next step is, you might say, the ball is in your court. The next step is that you have to step out in faith and take that step and go in that direction that God wants you to go in. And so that is where your faith comes in. That is where God asks each of us to exercise our faith. And we've all been given a measure of faith. Paul tells in Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace that is given to me, Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so as you think soberly about your life, you may think, well, I can't do anything in the kingdom of God. That's just for preachers and pastors, and that's just for people that have a special anointing or a special calling. No, that is not correct. You have a destiny. You have a calling. No matter what your life has been in the past, no matter how you failed to walk with God, or how you failed your fellow man, or how you failed even your own estimation and expectation of your life, no matter what has happened in the past, you still have that measure of faith, and God has not given up on you. He has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you, and He still expects you to step out and exercise that measure of faith that He has given you. And so He's saying, Paul is saying, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think that you're something special. Don't think that you're more than you are. But at the same time, think soberly about yourself and think about the expectation that God has for you, and the calling that he has on your life, and that he can use you no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been, no matter where you're at today. You may be sitting in prison today. You may be sitting in a dump today. You may be bound up in addictions or discouragement or depression or despair. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, no matter where you are at today, God can use you, and he wants you to come to him just as you are. He wants you to seek him and just bring your baggage with you when you come. You don't have to get cleaned up before you come to the cross. Just bring your baggage, and God will set you free of that as you go, as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will be set free of all that baggage, and God will then release you into your destiny. He will clean you up, and he will deliver you of all that baggage, and he will release you into your destiny so that you can move forward then in the power and strength of the glory of God. Well, in Hebrews, if you would there, turn in your Bible to Hebrews 11. The chapter is called the Faith Chapter. Hebrews 11, I believe Paul wrote this, and it's called the Roll Call of Faith later on in the chapter. But Paul gives a description or a definition of what it is to have faith. He says in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," or the conviction of things not seen. And so that is a good working definition of faith. It is a measurable substance. Again, Romans 12:3, Paul says that we have been, each of us, given a measure of faith. And so you may think, well, so-and-so has a great measure of faith, and he's able to do mighty things for the kingdom. He's able to believe for mighty things. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, every single person has a measure of faith. Your measure may be small. You maybe have never exercised it. And let me tell you also that faith increases the more you exercise it, the more you use it, the more you test your faith or put your faith to the test. Then your faith will increase. Your faith will get bigger. Your faith will grow stronger as you see how the Lord is true to his word, as you see how the Lord will support you when you step out in faith, as you see how the Lord will never forsake you in situations where you can't believe the possibility of certain things happening. In other words, you can't believe that the outcome could be good, and you see the Lord turn things around in a way that no man can, or it's impossible for man to do it. You see mighty exploits of the kingdom of God, and then your faith starts to grow. You take that little measure of faith, and you put it to test in stepping out in ways that God calls you to step out, and you'll see that faith start to grow. You'll see that little measure of faith, and it'll get bigger and bigger, and then God will have you to believe for bigger things. God will have you to step out for even greater exploits in the kingdom. And so we see that the faith is a substance. It's a measurable substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so if we have not seen it, we don't know that it is a reality, but we believe it. We believe it as if we're just holding it in our hand. We believe it as if we've already seen it. And Mark 11, it tells you, when you pray, pray believing as if you've already received. In other words, just start thanking the Lord even before you see the result, even before you see the change coming or the transformation or whatever situation you're praying for. Just start thanking the Lord when you're praying. Pray believing as if you have already received. And if you say, "Lord, I've already received that," then I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to believe you for it. And I'm going to give you the praise and honor that you're due. Well, Hebrews 11, verse 2, For by the faith the elders of old obtained a good testimony. And verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, God spoke them into existence. If you believe that God created this earth, if you believe that he created everything in it, if you believe that he created you and created me, then you have already exercised a good measure of faith, because there's many people that don't believe that. There's many people that say that we're products of a gooey slime or some pond scum somewhere, and that we are just products of chance. And I urge you to dig into the argument between evolution and the creation argument. I urge you to dig in that, and you will see that we are not products of chance. You will see that science supports the fact that we are created beings, and the Bible, the first chapter of Genesis, certainly gives the story, the explanation, how God created us. And we don't know all the details. The details are known only to God, but it's for certain that we're not products of chance. And if you believe that you're a product of chance, it will affect your worldview. It will affect how you go about your life. It will affect your vision and your self-examination. It will affect what you think about yourself if you believe that you're just a random accident, that you're just a product of chance. And so I encourage you to exercise your measure of faith and believe that God created you, which He did, and that He created you for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory and honor to His name. That purpose is to bring glory and honor to Him, and use your life in a way that God will reward you when you bring glory and honor to Him. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's the most fulfilling thing that you can do with your life, is to acknowledge God and to work for Him and serve Him as if you're serving a friend. And it will be credited to you when you exercise your faith. It will be credited to you as righteousness. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, God spoke into existence this world. He spoke into existence everything that is created. And so Genesis 12:3, it says that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so God spoke into existence light. He spoke into existence the sun, the moon, and everything that we depend on for our existence here on this earth. And so if you believe that, you're already exercising your measure of faith. Well, Hebrews 11:6 tells us why we need to have faith, why we need to exercise our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In other words, those who come to God must know that He is. You must have a faith that you believe that God is there. What is the point of coming to Him and to say, "God, if you're there, maybe if you're there, maybe you can hear my prayer, maybe you can intercede on my behalf"? And if you come to God with that kind of approach, James says in the first chapter of James that you are a double-minded man, that you are unstable in all your ways. And so if you lack wisdom, James 1 says, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should come to God for it. In other words, ask God, "God, show me that you're real. Show me you are who you say you are. Show me that you have a son, Jesus Christ. Now show me that the Holy Spirit is real, that the person of the Holy Spirit is real." And when you do that, God will then show you. He will reveal Himself to you. He will make Himself mighty in your life. And when you come to God and with the faith that you know that God is, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so when you diligently seek the Lord, knowing that He is there, knowing that He cares about you, knowing that He spoke this earth and all creation into existence, when you come to God with that knowledge and that faith and that belief, then God will diligently reward you in your pursuit of Him. Well, in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." And so when you exercise your faith in terms of salvation, God says, "I give you mercy, I give you forgiveness, I don't see your sins anymore, I have forgiven you of your sins." And so by the grace of God, we are saved through that little measure of faith that we exercise. By the grace of God, we are saved through that little measure of faith and we say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Father of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me and shed his blood for me. And when you exercise that little measure of faith, then God will grant you salvation. He will forgive you of your sins, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, James talks about faith and the expression of our faith in relation to doing good works here on this earth for the kingdom of God. James says in James 2:14, "What does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can that faith save him?" And then verse 17, "This also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And so James says that if you just claim that you have faith, but you don't exercise that faith and you don't put it to work for the kingdom of God, you don't do the works that God shows you to do, then that faith by itself is dead. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, our salvation is not only for our eternal life, that we can know God for all eternity and reside with him in heaven, rejoicing with the angels and Jesus Christ, but also while we're here on this earth, it is important that we understand that we're saved to do the good works of the kingdom right here on this earth, that we're saved to exercise the talents, the skills, the abilities, the attributes that we have, and to express those things, express those attributes in doing good works that bring glory and honor to God here on this earth. And what better thing could you do with your life, brothers and sisters, than to bring glory and honor to God through the works that you do here? And I'm not discounting anybody's life in any pursuit that you're doing or any secular pursuit, because you can serve the Lord and be an ambassador to the Lord in your secular pursuit as well. And everything that you do, do as unto the Lord. Do as if you're working for Jesus Christ, no matter what position or what place in life God has you, or what vocation or calling God has you. Do your work and do your life, do your expression for the kingdom, and let others know who are looking at you and who are watching you that you are a child of the living God and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and let others know that this is what you believe in. And if you'll do that, then you'll be bringing glory to God in your life, and you'll be operating in the calling that he has for you. Well, back to James 2, verse 18. Someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works." And James says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" In other words, if you're just saying, "I have faith," and you don't do anything with it, you don't do anything to move forward in the gifts and operate in the gifts that God has for you, and you don't use your faith to exercise works here on this earth, James says, then your faith is dead. You can't just claim you have faith but do nothing with it. You can't just claim that you believe in God but then when the time comes to help the poor or feed the hungry or visit the sick, you say, "No, I don't have anything to do with that. I don't want to bother with that." James says your faith is dead if you don't exercise it and do the works of the kingdom. Again, what profit is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? That faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so we don't want to be accused of having dead faith. We don't want to be accused of having a faith that is dead and needs to be buried. We don't want to be accused of having a faith with no works. We want to stand before God. We want to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We want to be able to stand before Jesus and say, "Jesus, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to do your works here on this earth. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you showed me things to do. You showed me ways to exercise my faith, to stretch out in faith. And as I think about the projects that God has given me to do, the good works of the kingdom God has given me to do, he's given me an opportunity to build an orphanage for 30 to 40 children over in Africa right now. And so I just thank the Lord for the opportunity. I thank the Lord for showing me the greater works of the kingdom and for considering me worthy to step forward and be an ambassador for the kingdom of God here, not only here in this place, in this ministry here, but also around the world. God has given me projects to do, and I just thank the Lord for that he considers me worthy to do those works that bring glory to honor to him in the kingdom. Well, again, brother and sister, it starts with Jesus Christ. If you believe in him, you're exercising your faith, and then start looking for things to do that will bring glory and honor to Jesus, that will honor the kingdom of God in your life and here on this earth. To start looking for things to do, ask God to reveal those things to you. Ask him to reveal your destiny, and you will find out that God will do that. He will start to reveal his destiny to you, and he'll start to put the pressure on you then to give up some things of yours and pick up your cross, pick up the things of the kingdom, and carry it daily. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.